Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 410. My name is Christopher Keough, and I am here with Jeff Jorney.
What up? 410. God.
410. And that's it. Just the two of us today. We're going to do another one of those little short shows. We've got, we're going to talk about distractions, and then we'll do a little bit talk about Scorpio, and maybe a little bit more dabbled in there. But, before that, let's see what's going on. Jeff, it's been a while. What's up, man?
I don't know. It's been a while.
It's been a very long while. So,
honestly, I don't even know where to start or where to go to make anything entertaining for the listeners. Still alive, which is good, I guess.
that's good. That's good.
yeah. So you can say I'm alive is good, I guess. Just been like chilling, doing a lot of family stuff, friend stuff, gaming stuff. Something cool must have happened between last time I was on and today's show, but I honestly can't think of anything because I am very ill prepared. So
I feel like the last time you were on, we were talking about your vacation. So that's how long it's been.
Oh my God. Okay. So that wasn't that long ago. It was long ago, but not too long ago. I honestly think I've only been playing like 3 games since then. So, and work same old boring as shit for anyone else. And yeah, just been busy. It's coming to that time where it's like, I have 2 really busy times of the year. There's like the holidays, which is something happening every weekend. And then this time of year through the summer, this is where everything like fucking gets crazy booked up. I'm trying to organize a guy's weekend that I've talked about before. We always do, and of course people have kids and shit, and I'm trying to organize this thing, and it's hard to get a weekend plan because everyone's got shit going on the weekend. It's weekend's Father's Day, and oh, can't do that weekend. Another day, oh, they can't do that, whatever. It's like, oh God, being an adult sucks. Adulting sucks. It's the worst.
Just stop doing it. It's fine.
Yeah,
it's fine. Exactly. Just stop adulting.
Well, that's why we do this, so we can stop adulting for like an hour or so and just fucking shit the shit about, like, you know, just be fucking man children.
Like,
not
right.
Trump man children, but just, you know, regular man children.
No, we have bigger hands.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't know, man. Just things are okay.
Cool.
We're having a good time. What about you?
Cool. Not a lot since, well, I mean, it's quite a bit since the last time we talked. But I've talked about it on the show previously. So, the one thing I will say about this week is something that I don't know if you knew or not. No. I got braces. So, and Thursday I had my first, I actually have baby teeth still in my mouth.
What? How is that even possible?
I do. All 4 of my canines were baby teeth. They never came out. They never came out. The adult ones are still in my, in my jaw. Like 3 of them are still in my jaw. Mm-hmm. And then 1 of them came in with the baby tooth still there. I went in on Thursday. They pulled one of the canines. The one that where the adult tooth already came up, they pulled that canine so they can pull the adult canine into place with, the braces. So, got that done. First time I've ever had a tooth pulled, actually. That got done, and then they tightened it they tightened the braces for the first time. I've had them for about 6 weeks now. That's the most exciting thing that's happened to me this week.
I got my first tooth pulled when I was pretty young, and it was the most excruciating thing I've probably ever gone through. It was terrible.
Oh, really?
Oh my God, yeah. I was young. I'm going to say I wasn't a teenager yet. I was probably under 10, maybe. I don't know. For some reason, they had to pull a tooth. I can't remember why. It wasn't a wisdom teeth. I have all my wisdom teeth. I was lucky. Didn't have to get those pulled. I remember just going in there, and then, like, they gave me some kind of anesthetic, but I don't think it fully worked because, like, I was feeling shit when they were pulling that motherfucker, like, crunch. It was bad. It was awful. I don't recommend it.
Yeah, for me, it wasn't bad. I mean, it's probably easier when you're an adult.
And they probably put you, did they put you out or just do local anesthetic?
No, it's just local. So they rubbed a little bit of the numbing gel on first.
Yep.
And then they injected.
I don't think they injected me when I was young. I remember them putting the numbing gel. And I was like, this is cool. He's like, can you feel this? I'm like, no. He's like poking at my gums and shit. But when they actually started, like, I was like, oh. I've never gotten the needle anesthetic, whatever, like around the tooth area till I was an adult getting something done, and they did it. Never when I was younger. So I don't know what the hell they were doing, but it was It was bad, man. Oh, fuck. I can't do the show anymore. It brings us too much memories. Can't do it, man.
Okay. Thank you for listening. They did the local anesthetic, the needle local anesthetic. And then he just said, it came out relatively easy. He said, you're going to feel some pressure. I felt him push it a couple places. Mm-hmm. And then he just pulled out the tooth. And he said, just take 3 Motrin and you should be good.
Call me in the morning.
Yeah, that's essentially what happened. I took 3 Motrin, on yesterday. Today's Friday. So yesterday evening, I took 3 Motrin. I could feel like a little bit of pain where the tooth was.
Yeah. Does it feel really weird?
Well, right now it feels weird, but there's no pain whatsoever. Like I took the 3 Motrin last night and that's it. I haven't had any pain or anything since then. So maybe I just got lucky. Maybe it's because I'm an adult having a baby tooth taken out and that's much less traumatic. Maybe. It was really not a non-issue. That's how boring this week has been. That was the most exciting thing that happened this week.
Well, how long are you going to have to wear their braces for?
About 2.5 years.
Oh, really? So, that long? Okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. Cause the bottom teeth are really fucked up. And right now they can't even put the bottoms on because, the way that my jaw is aligned, if I shut my mouth, And without thinking about it, I could knock off one of the brackets on the bottom.
Oh, Jesus.
So right now they put the tops on and they're trying to position the teeth so that they don't run into the brackets on the bottom teeth. So it's a little, it's a little annoying that way. But after they put the bottoms on, I have to go to the oral surgeon, get the other 3 canines removed. They have to actually go into my gums and attach like a special bracket on the top of each of my adult canines that are still in my jaw and start pulling them out, like pulling them into my mouth, which is really weird.
Yeah.
I'm going to look really fucking weird for a while because I'm going to be missing, 3 teeth.
Whatever.
Yeah. How exciting.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. Tomorrow I got a lot of work to do at the other house trying to get everything out of there. Cause we want to pull it up. We're hoping to put it up for sale on May 1st. And then, once we get that sold, we can just like focus on the new place and be done. You know, it'd be nice. Use some of the equity that we got in the house and the old house to do some additions to this one. Mm-hmm. That's the hope, the hope and the dream. But,
living it, buddy.
It's that and fucking games. So let's talk about some fucking games. Now, know you said, So I talked about Horizon last week, but you haven't gotten to talk about Horizon. So let's talk a little bit about Horizon and you tell me what's going on.
It's a good game. I really like it. I got it day one, played it for about a week, but a week isn't like tons of hours, like a few hours maybe. And then I got sucked into Zelda. Didn't play it until I was done with Zelda. I like that game a lot. I wish I played it before Zelda all the way through, because I think after playing Zelda, I come back and realize it's not just Horizon, how well Zelda does open world better than I think any other open world game ever. And I just kept thinking of stuff while I was playing Horizon.
Hold that thought because I want to come back to that.
Okay.
But hold that thought. I want to come back to that.
Will do. I'll try to, if I remember. It's good. It's gorgeous. The story is pretty interesting. I like the story. I could nitpick it. The character animations during cutscenes and stuff, because none of it was motion captured, so it's all was hand animated, by the developers. So it's kind of it's got that Mass Effect 1 type facial animation, which isn't a big
stiffness?
Deal. Yeah, kind of like a stiffness, and the same, even Witcher 3 does this, where you see the same animations over and over again when you're talking to characters, if you know what I mean. Like, it's just like they're canned animations, which is like that they do over and over again.
Oh, like their movements and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're talking
about. The way their shoulders or head moves or whatever. That's fine. The combat I really like, only to a certain point. I think it has that problem I have with a lot of games that are not even open world, just whatever, that once you try to do something and it goes wrong, it just turns down to dodge, 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 shoot, 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 dodge, 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 shoot, 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 dodge, 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 shoot, shoot, shoot. Yeah. And I've actually found myself, especially coming back, skipping combat. And when I mean skipping combat, I see a checkpoint on the map, I run to it. I don't even fight anything anymore. I'm just like, nope. Unless I have to actually fight, I am running.
See, that is completely contrary to me, because I would I would get into fights because I enjoyed the combat so much. Like, I didn't do the dodge, dodge, shoot, shoot thing. I did the, like, all right, whistle him over, lay a trap, watch it explode, it, you know, catch him on fire, knock him down with the spear, do a critical hit. And like, I was, well, I, like, yeah, all that shit went together.
When you have one person to fight, that's cool. But when there's like a group, once you wake them all up or they all see where you are, you're dodging around, man. Like, yeah, I would do that. I'd call over as many as I could, but then I got bored of that because I'm like, okay, well, this is, I thought it was overpowered. You can call like anything over and then stealth kill it. Call anything over, stealth kill it. Not
well, not anything. Yeah, not, just yeah, the smaller ones.
The smaller ones. But I felt like if there's a big group of like bigger ones, the second they knew you were there, that's when it falls into the, like, for me anyway, the like dodge, 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 shoot, 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 dodge, 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 shoot, shoot, shoot. Because the enemies don't really do much. Like, they basically just bum rush you when they see you.
Some of
instead of a couple, yeah. That's like the majority of the bigger ones do. They're just kind of like, you know, whatever. But that's fine. It's like, whatever. Again, I think it's really good. It'll definitely be on my game of the year list for this year for sure. Where it places, I don't know, because this beginning of this year has just been insanely good. Like, it's, I've even gone back to Neo for a little bit. I can't totally get right back into that because when you go away from a Souls game or like a game like that, it's kind of hard to get back into when you're not in the rhythm. It's like, what am I doing again? How do I play this?
You have to kind of relearn the combat and everything.
Yeah, exactly. But I was able to get back into Horizon again after like a while of not getting into it. But I know I really like it. Like, if anything, those guys know how to program for the PS4. Like, that's like the best looking game I've ever seen.
It's
fucking gorgeous.
So do you have a Pro, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So the one, like, I started the game on the regular PS4, mm-hmm. and then, I didn't finish the game until after I moved into the new place and set up my basement and did all that. So, mm-hmm. But one thing I did find is that, so I went from the PS4 to the Pro, and then when I went on vacation, I took my regular PS4 with me and just played, mm-hmm. you know, cause they don't have a 4K TV. There's no reason for me to bring my Pro.
Yeah, no, it doesn't.
So I went back to the original and I could definitely notice the difference, but it didn't really bother me that much, you know, cause the game still played fantastic.
Yeah.
The difference is definitely noticeable, but it wasn't enough to deteriorate the experience, I should say.
So you have a 4K TV right now then?
Yes, I have a 4K HDR. Gotcha. I got that P series, remember?
Oh, the Vizio. That's right. Yeah. You did say that, yeah.
And, it's working great. I love it. It's fantastic. But,
yeah, even on the 1080p screen I have, like, it gives you two options if you have a 1080p screen. You can do the super sampling, which basically puts it out in 4K and then scales it down to 1080p. And there's also I can't remember what the actual term they use for it in the options, but, it doesn't do the super sampling. It does it in 1080p native, but it adds other effects. And keeps the frame rate, I guess, a little bit, whatever. I just keep it on that, and it's fine. Like, I think like I've never seen the game running on a regular PS4, so I can't even say if I would even notice a difference on a 1080p screen. I'm guessing I wouldn't, because everyone I know who has it on a regular PS4 say it's still, like, fucking gorgeous.
Oh, yeah, it was gorgeous well before I got the 4K stuff going, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I agree. It's definitely, I would say that it is the best-looking open-world game I've ever played, period. But yeah, it's definitely,
I think it's the best ranks up there I've seen.
Yeah, it could be. There are
the way that they've done with that.
Some of the facial animations kind of get to me, like you were saying before. Yeah. But from like a pure technical graphics standpoint,
when you're actually playing the game, sometimes when the lights, the god rays start coming over like mountains through trees, and it's like at like dusk and something like that, like it just looks ridiculously good. I'm like, wow, this is, yeah. Like, something like Uncharted 4 looks better in terms of, like, cutscenes and that kind of stuff, but in actual gameplay, Horizon is just like, damn.
Yeah, it's
pretty
amazing.
They were like that. They were like that on PS3, too. Like, all the what's-it-called games looked really good on PS3. The Killzone games.
Killzone games, yeah.
Yeah,
even Shadowfall looked good, considering it was a launch game, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
it was,
yeah.
The one thing I do think is pretty cool is that they're using the same engine they use for Horizon for Death Stranding. So
yeah,
I'm interested
to
see what they're going to do with that and how that's going to look. But, you know,
years.
Yeah. When it comes out in like 2020.
Yeah.
But, Cool, but yeah. So we discussed offline that you're almost to the end. So
I'm very close to it.
How are you enjoying the story and how they're setting everything up?
Oh, I like the story a lot. I think the story is really, really well done. I do have a problem with I don't like how it tries. This isn't a Horizon thing either. It's just an every game thing. When you have dialogue trees that kind of go on way too long, I'm like, this isn't a game where my choices affect anything. Just give me all that exposition at once. Don't make me. It just feels like the Mass Effect did this sometimes, even though their actions do kind of change shit in Mass Effect. But don't give me an option that makes it so when I pick a different option, it's like we didn't have that entire conversation we just had. And I remember to try to remember this, yes, because last night I was playing it, and I was talking to this guy, and all of a sudden, like, the last option I picked, which I guess should have been the first one I picked, was kind of like a, oh, how you doing about whatever, blah, blah. I'm like, we just talked about something similar to this whole thing, and that's, like, the last thing. I'm like, just give me all that exposition in, like, a cutscene, or, like, not even a cutscene, but just, like, just have them talking to each other. Give me all that stuff. Because if you're just going to have it, I select something, and it's going to tell me about it, I was like, come on, let's get on with it. That kind of, I don't know, like, if that makes sense. It just doesn't have.
No, it does, yeah.
Yeah, because I.
But I, at the same time, it's like, it's giving people the option to not go through that.
To not know through it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I can see that too. It's just like, I want to know this stuff, but if I'm going to have to hit a button, just tell me. I don't care.
Some,
and it's not
some
even,
of the things,
even Horizon's fault. It's every game that does that.
Yeah, that's true. Some of the things you do have an effect for the effect on the end.
Okay.
So just so you know.
All right.
We can talk about that more later if you want, but I'll just leave it
when I beat it for sure. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Or whatever on break or after whatever.
Sure.
Either way.
What else?
I mean, a lot of other little stuff, like back into Rocket League a lot. A lot of Uno.
Oh man. Always ready to play Rocket League, man. Our entire group is always ready to play Rocket League.
Mm-hmm.
Such a good game.
So great. Other than that, man, it's been Zelda. I don't know if you want to dive in that, if you have anything else you want to talk about before Zelda.
Not a lot, really. Let me just mention one game in particular, and that's the Wonder Boy and the Dragon Trap.
Okay.
So that came out on, I'm not sure if it's out on anything else, but it came out on Switch, and it's a Sega Master System
game.
It's on everything that they completely remastered. So I picked it up on the Switch, and it's, you know, I haven't gotten that far. It's a lot of fun. It's very true. It's very, what's the word I'm looking for? It's very, loyal to the original. And, they have one of the, it's one of those games that has that option to like flip back and forth between the original visual style and the new one. And it's really smooth. It's like you can do it in the middle of gameplay. And I don't know if this is a normal thing because no, there's no pause or anything. So I don't know if that's normal or not because I've actually never played a game that has that. Cause okay. I haven't really picked them up, but like there's no pause or anything. It literally just like you just see a line come across the screen and it goes from hand drawn to 8-bit and then back to hand drawn, then back to 8-bit. And it just, it's really, really smooth. It does a really good job with it, but, that game is fucking gorgeous. Like all the
remastered one?
Yeah, the remastered visuals on it, it's gorgeous. I mean, the animations are really good and it's really
hard
beautiful.
As fucked?
It's still hard as fuck, yeah. It's still like
I remember that game pretty hard.
Cheapishly
I rented
hard.
It on Sega Master System. Didn't own it.
Yeah, it's still hard as fuck. As I said, they didn't really I don't think they changed much of the gameplay. I think they left it pretty loyal to what the original was and just remastered the graphics and that's it. So but yeah, that was really good. But, other than that, it's been Zelda. So right. Let's talk some Zelda.
Let's talk 2017's game of the year.
I'm going to start. See, I'm not going to say that because right now I still like Horizon better. I want to go back to what you said while we were talking about Horizon that this does, things in the open world a lot better than other things. Go more into detail about that.
Okay. I guess the main thing is everything you do in Zelda means something. Like there's a reason to explore. And when you find something in Zelda, it adds to your character and what you're doing more than just collectibles, even though essentially is what you're doing are collectibles. So you find shrines. You know, every four shrines you can get a heart container or a stamina container.
Mm-hmm.
So automatically, you know, I find one of those. Shit, this is good. The Korok seeds. They could have just been like feathers and like Assassin's Creed, like, oh, let's just go get these feathers, which is boring. But no, you have to solve a little puzzle in the environment. You have to look for clues, like patterns or whatnot. And then you do that and you get a seed. What do those seeds do? They make it so you can expand your inventory.
Right.
So I find like everything you find in that world contributes to, it makes your character better. And it's worthwhile. Like I've never felt that in a, like a open world game ever. Like every open world game I play, it's usually just do the story quests, do a couple side quests here and there if they're interesting. Any of the collectibles, I don't even fucking bother. Like, I do not care about collectibles at all. But in Zelda, I did because I knew, like, what is that over there? I knew if I climbed up on a high mountain or climbed up on something that was pretty high, there's probably going to be a Korok seed on top. Or I would be able to see a shrine that you wouldn't normally see if you're just walking on land. I'd be like, okay, yeah. I'm going to go do that. And I think that's... It's the only open world game I have ever played outside of Skyrim for like the first like maybe 15 to 20 hours where I had no problem just being like, you know what? I have an hour and a half to kill. I'm just going to explore because I know even if I play this for an hour and a half, I'm going to advance something even if it's not storyline. Where in other open world games, I never got that. It's like, oh, cool. I found three more pigeons, which ends up meaning nothing, or four more feathers in like Assassin's Creed or something like that. Or like an Infamous, like, okay, I found like six shards. Like those shards, yes, they do add to give you more power, but they're literally just, hey, there's one on the map. Go get it. It's fun to open those things in Zelda. And I thought, I don't know, it was just like exploring that world, even though it's so big, it feels more empty at first, but then when I played Horizon afterwards, Horizon was more dense, but there's so much less you do in that actual world as an open world. I felt it was a waste. Not a waste, just not as rewarding. Like in Horizon, I find myself doing what I do with most open worlds. Get the quest done, just do the quest, do that. I don't explore in that game at all because there's no reward for it. It's just like, okay, well, I found some more plants.
Well, I would disagree to a point as far as Horizon goes. There is a reason to explore, but they also very early give you the maps for everything, like to find where everything is.
Yeah. But those are just finding stuff, though. Yeah, I know what the maps you're talking about.
No,
it's
not
still
just finding
stuff.
No. No, because have you found all the cauldrons?
I think there's, how many of them are there? Four of them or five of them?
I think there's four of them, yeah.
I have found three of them just on my own. Just like, yeah, okay. Just going through, yeah.
So that's
and those
one.
Ghosts gives you, yeah, they give you the ability to, yeah, those I found were cool because those actually, every time I saw one, I was like, I'm going to do this because it gives me, there's a reason to do it. You can override enemies.
Right.
So what's another one that's?
There's the energy cells or the battery, the power cells that unlock an area in the earlier, in the earlier areas where you can get the, like that armor that you saw in my screenshot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All of the collectibles are tradable, with a particular, person in Meridian, each one has like a particular merchant. That's not really important though, because they usually just give you a box full of stuff. And it may not be that great. But the big thing for me is the cauldrons for sure. I liked exploring for the cauldrons. I liked doing, the bandit camps. I liked doing.
See, what does the bandit camps get you? Because those are in Zelda, those kind of things as well. But I knew when I cleared one out, I was going to get something badass.
Yeah. So when you clear one out, really? Because I haven't seen that yet. But when you clear one out, you get like there's a treasure room. Each one has like a treasure room, and then that now becomes like an outcast city that has a merchant and it makes it like a camp. So,
yeah.
And then there's the corrupted areas, which I enjoyed the combat.
You
so
like
I,
the
I would
combat.
Seek that stuff
fan.
Out. I would seek that stuff out just to do the just to take down the enemies. But I think it just depends on what you like out of both games. Right now, when I'm playing Zelda, I'm still at the point where I'm not really feeling it. The big thing for me is that...
How far? Are you off the main area yet?
Yeah. I mean, I'm I don't know. You tell me.
Off the plateau? Are you off the plateau?
Yeah, yeah, I'm off the plateau. Okay. So I'm at the elephant. Let's put it that way.
Okay. So you went right to the elephant first. Okay, gotcha.
I did other stuff first. I did a lot of, I went through, did a bunch of the shrines, did quite a bit of exploring, did I don't know if they're definitely not as big as bandit camps. So maybe there are, things that are that big in Zelda, but like
there's not bandit camps. There's like the enemy areas where if you kill everyone, you'll get a chest. And usually those chests have something pretty good in them.
Yeah, most of the time when I get the chest, it's a weapon that's, you know, as good as or better, a little bit better than what I've got. Mm-hmm. But my biggest issue, and I spoke about this last week, my biggest issue is having to manage all that shit because the durability destroys this game for me. It's annoying as fuck.
It'll get better. It's annoying as shit at first. Once you start like leveling up, or I get you just don't really level up, but when you start getting more heart containers stuff and the game knows you're advancing, it gives you stuff that lasts longer. At the beginning, your shit breaks really, really fast. And I had the same problem. I was like, what the fuck? And I didn't want to use anything that was good. And then.
Yeah, because I didn't want it to break. I'm doing that now. I'm doing that now.
Like, people are like, just use it, man. Trust me. Like, just use it. And it's like, you know what? Fuck it. I'll do it. And then it was like, okay, this is actually isn't that bad. This is actually, to get to a point where you can use a weapon for a good amount of time before it breaks. And. Yeah, that became a non-issue. It was an issue for me at the beginning, for sure, as well.
I mean, do you get to the point where you're getting weapons that don't break, and you can?
No, there are no weapons. There's one weapon that doesn't break.
The Master Sword.
Everything else breaks. Okay. So, but the thing is, you're going to get duplicates of it, and you're going to get other stuff. But early in the game, literally, like every weapon you find pretty much breaks at every fucking encounter that you have with enemies, but that's the thing.
It's like you get like a soldier's sword said to be durable. You kill like four guys and it breaks. That was durable. Yeah. I mean, you know,
that goes away. Okay, well, it doesn't go away. It just gets a little better. It's more like that's probably my only complaint with that game, to be honest with you. Like, well, not only, but one of the only is I really don't like the durability thing on the weapons because it just makes you not want to use the good stuff, and it doesn't let you fall in love with certain weapons, because if you do, you're just not going to want to use them, because they're going to fucking break. But you'll find later, you do get duplicates, and you'll get to the point where you have a lot of the weapons you really like, so it's not really much of a problem. If anything, I just wish that the game would, when your weapon breaks, if you have that exact same weapon in your inventory, it automatically equips it again. Which, that would be cool, because I'm like, I'm just going to do it fucking anyway. Why are you making me do this? Cooking are my only issues with the game, really.
Yeah, the cooking is not very user-friendly. Like, the menu system and the way it all works,
it's a pain in the ass. There's no way to cook multiple stuff. It doesn't save your recipe, so you can't just be like, I just want to make this. That is a problem. But again, you get to a point in the game where I just literally was cooking the same shit over and over. I would cook something that has really good stamina. I'd cook something that has really good health. I'd cook something that has really good armor, all that kind of stuff. I wouldn't worry about mixing and matching shit, because you'll find that, oh, if I mix fucking 5 mega bananas, whatever the hell those things called, I get a crazy attack bonus. So that's all I'm going to do. So that's all I'll do for that. And then I'll make a really cool one for, like, a really big one for health, a really big one for stealth, a really big one for heat resistance. And that's all you really need to do. I didn't really experiment too much with the cooking when I realized you don't really need to at all.
So when you started out, like, how did you distribute the orbs that you got? I was also getting frustrated that I would go up against two guys at once, mm-hmm. and one of them would be more powerful, and he'd kill me in one fucking shot. Yeah, and I'm like, what is that?
Game. Yeah. It's like Dark Souls, Demon Souls in that way. Like, you have to dodge, you have to, like, look to parry and stuff. I did the actual opposite of what every single thing I read said to do. I did hearts first because I wanted to get that Master Sword. So I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to get hearts. And then I go, until I have problems climbing stuff, not in the rain with my potions or my meals I ate that give me stamina stuff, what's the point of putting anything in stamina?
No, I agree. I've done nothing but hearts so far.
I've done nothing. I did nothing but hearts at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then I was like, once I started, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I've I haven't played it for that long. It's like I've had the game for maybe about a week, right? Yeah. And I've got like first thing I got 7 hearts now, and that's all I did was I did hearts. So is you have to have the certain number of hearts to get the Master Sword?
You do, yes.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. When you actually find it. But yeah, I'm in this. Like, okay, I played about. I think I put in total probably about 80 something hours in this game, which is the most I put into any single player game ever since they started tracking time in games. I'm sure I've probably put more maybe back in the day when they didn't track that kind of stuff. But I would say the first 20 hours of playing Zelda, I really liked it, but didn't love it. Once I got to a certain point, it's all I wanted to play. I didn't even care. I was like, I'm just going to go home. Plays, I had like a goal. Like, I'm gonna do like 4 shrines today. I'm gonna find 4 shrines. I'm gonna do, try to find this many Korok seeds or, I'm trying to think of stuff that's just like, the game doesn't really tell you, but you kind of figure out. And it's just such a gratifying experience when you figure something out that the game doesn't tell you. And like, holy shit, that was really fucking cool. Like a certain way to get into a shrine or a certain way to, oh my God, I can't think of any examples. So not ready. It's hard to say. Like it's been the most enamored I've been with a game in a long, long, long time. And I am not a big Nintendo fan. And I really think like you might look at the opposite, think that you like Horizon better than Zelda, but I totally like, I wish I played Horizon first to completion. Because if I didn't, I wouldn't have gone back to Horizon and realized all the things I missed from Zelda. Like, all the ways you can get around in that world is awesome. The hang glider, the climbing, the horses. Oh my! When you get to a certain, like, I don't want to spoil anything, but there's a certain dungeon you do, which is, I actually think it's the one you're on. It might be the elephant one. So you already have the armor for the. I could say the water people. They're not called
the
water
Zora.
People.
The Zora.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I have that armor.
Like, yeah. That's like so awesome. Every time you beat a dungeon, you get a special power up or special ability. And all of those are great. They make playing the game way more fun.
Maybe that's the thing. Maybe I'm just not far enough at this point because this is the first, like the elephant is the first quote unquote dungeon I've been into.
It is.
So,
I don't. Honestly, the dungeons are one of the worst things I think about the game too. Actually, that's another one I have a complaint about. But
yeah, because they don't seem very dungeon-like. You know,
no, they're really not. They're more of a puzzle-based thing, and they're not really. There's hardly any enemies in them. Also, the bosses that you fight in every single one, they don't do the same things, but they look the same. And I don't get a feeling of like.
Is it just those guardians? Difference.
Yeah. No. Which guardians? No, they're not guardians.
Okay.
No. They're bosses, but they're all pretty similar, and it's kind of a bummer. Hmm. Even to the point where the last boss, I was like, up to a certain span, I'm like, really? They're just gonna, okay, whatever. I don't know, some playing that game, I just felt like very relaxed and so whimsical, and it's like, this is an open world game that I actually like looking around, and it's, when I beat the game, the first thing I did was keep just I was like, oh, there's a whole area over here where I have nothing open, no shrines, nothing. I'm just gonna go over here and see what happens. I go over there and this entire fucking thing happens. I'm like, holy shit, this isn't even a story based thing, but this is really cool.
Yeah,
like this is something I could have totally miss, but I went back and did it. So
okay,
it's hard to yeah, I don't know, man.
Well, I love playing the game, so don't get me wrong. I think it's fun. It just hasn't hit yet where I'm thinking, this is the greatest
world ever, you know? Probably took 20 hours for me to really realize, holy crap, to the point where I was like, this is going to ruin every open world game for me that I ever play in terms of stuff that you actually do exploring, like minor open world stuff. And that's the thing is I don't really fault Horizon because Horizon, it's an open world game, but I don't really consider it a big open world game because it's just kind of it's like Tomb Raider meets Far Cry, kind of like mashed together. It's not like a GTA type thing or what's another fucking big open world game that I'm blanking out on here. It's not meant to be what kind of Zelda is, I guess. And yeah, I don't know. Just as a game in general, like I honestly think like Zelda is just in terms of games, it's just on another level than a lot of stuff that's come out. again, but you might even hit that. You might even play for 20 hours, 3 hours, and be like, I don't get it.
Yeah, I'm not that far yet.
That's
so.
Fine. Yeah, who knows? But I don't know.
Well, I'm going to go back to it like as soon as we're done recording this. So it's not like I'm not going to play it. Yeah. But yeah.
It's surprising, man. It's the first Zelda I ever beat. I beat a Zelda and a Final Fantasy. Yeah. It's a Zelda and a Final Fantasy I beat within 6 months of each other, and I never beat any of those games in each franchise.
Yeah, I left Final Fantasy on the shelf, man.
Yeah, I totally expected to not get into Zelda, but I got it for Tanya, and I was watching her play, and I'm like, this looks really interesting. I want to try it. And then I started playing it, and I could go back between that and Horizon. Then once I got to a certain point, I was like, okay, I'm just going to play this until I'm done with it. And 80 something hours later, and I still haven't even touched like my percentage. It was like 11% or something. It's ridiculously low. Yeah, the game is humongous. It is huge.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Anything else you want to talk about with Zelda?
Not really. I'm trying to think of other annoyances I had or things I think it did really good, did really well, but I can't really think of anything.
The one thing that I would say that I think they really missed as far as like opportunities go is the ability to craft the elemental arrows. Like,
I'm hearing
of like, I asked someone if that's possible, and they said that they, these people haven't beaten it. So you're saying no. That is missed. That is a missed opportunity. Like they have. Like all of these things that you get to pick up, right? All of these items, all these components you get to pick up.
You can't craft anything except for food.
Yeah. Yeah. You basically cook food and that's it. It's like, and make potions. I don't even know how to make potions yet. So,
potions, you just got to mix. Yeah. Potions are mixing what's it called? Like a part of an enemy, a part of a creature mm-hmm. part with a, God damn it. What the hell's
like an herb again, or something? Or,
yeah.
Or a mushroom?
It might be an herb.
Well, those are for healing.
A critter and a monster part. So like a critter and a monster. Is like a frog or like a...
Oh, okay.
A fucking cricket or something like that. And that's how you get that. And I'm like a monster part or something. That's how you do the potions. Which, to be honest, I barely did those.
Is it still in like the cooking pots? You still do it in the cooking pots?
Yeah, you still do it in the cooking pots. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you still do it there. I was going to say something else, but I can't remember. Why do those on Fridays? My brain is fried. Like, what?
That's all right. Let's keep going. You want to talk about Scorpio real quick?
Sure, why not? Not too much in terms of the actual console was revealed in terms of like price or anything, but Digital Foundry did the official reveal of the specs for it and like what's actually going to be inside the thing. There's a lot of stuff I really don't understand. It's got a lot of RAM, 12 gigs of RAM, GDDR5 RAM.
Yep.
Memory bandwidth apparently is a big thing. It's got 326 gigabytes of memory bandwidth. Sure. Hard drive, 1 terabyte. Optical drive, UHD Blu-ray player. Basically came out and said it's a pretty beast of a machine. In terms of numbers, it's also the first console. This is the part that interested me. Because Digital Foundry said that, basically don't look at it as an actual numbers jump percentage wise, because it's the first main console made by a main console maker designed around the engines that games use now. Usually like a console's designed and then engines are based around it.
Yeah.
Whereas this is the opposite. It's like they took all the main engines that are being used in games today and they built a console around it. And it also, so basically they took all the, certain engines, I guess, have, bandwidth issues or bottlenecks with certain consoles. That's why, like, we saw, like last generation where the PS3 had issues with, like, some Unreal, 3 engine stuff. And whatever the hell Platinum used, I can't remember what that engine is. I don't think it was Unreal. Was it Unreal? I don't think it was Unreal.
They did have problems with Unreal. A couple of problems, yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what the Platinum stuff used, but, so basically they took all that into account and they made it so it'd be more efficient to cater to those engines. And there's an actual chip dedicated to DirectX 12 stuff. So even though percentage wise, it's a huge leap, but it's actually going to use stuff more efficiently, or it's going to use resources more efficiently towards the games. So like they said that they already saw Forza running at 4K, like native 4K and 60 frames a second, and still had like 44% bandwidth like left over, or power left over, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess the big thing here is the price, because they didn't show the console, they didn't show any game running. They showed one screenshot. Which Digital Foundry said, yes, it is the one screenshot they let us show, but they actually saw games in motion, and it was pretty impressive. But I don't know, like, I guess the big thing here is, I guess they're going to do the big reveal, I guess,
probably E3. Yeah, it's got to be at E3, right? I would assume they would mention the price then, too, because aren't they bringing it out this year?
Yeah, it's going to be, the rumor is going to be in November.
Yeah.
So they would have to do, like, I originally thought they might have done like a, like what Sony did when they did like the whole PS4 Pro reveal. And then they talked about it with like E3. Or was it the opposite? Sorry, I'm getting confused here.
I think they did something similar. It's like, they had a larger reveal. And then, like they had like a larger, like event based reveal, like the Scorpio.
Exactly.
I don't think the Scorpio event was as lavish. It didn't really need to be.
Well, this was just a pure specs thing, which I thought was great to get Digital Foundry to do it, because they're the ones who like scrutinize over everything. They're like guys be like, well, you know, he did his comparison, but this one version has like 4 pixels off. So it's like, it's pretty nuts. So I'm hoping this means when they do reveal it, they're not going to go into bother with specs and be like, hey, here are some games running on it. Here's the price. Here's the release date or whatnot. And the rumor, but Digital Foundry pegs it at being at $499. That's what they think it's going to be, which would match it with the Xbox One at launch with Kinect. I don't think Microsoft should do that. I think they have to at least match the Pro's price, or at least be a little bit more expensive. That's what I'm guessing.
I don't think they can.
No, they can't. If they actually want to build, actually like close the gap, because if they don't put it to a price that's going to get people to buy it that don't already have an Xbox One, all they're doing is building on an installed base they already have. At least at the beginning. Like if they price a thing at like $499 or more, the only people who are going to buy that thing are people who don't have a PlayStation, don't have a PC. And those people are people who already have an Xbox One. So you're not closing any gap. You're just building on top of the installed base you already have. They have to price it. This is what I think is going to happen. How much is the PS4 Pro right now? $399?
Yeah, $400.
Is it $400?
Yeah.
I think going to go, because Sony, if Microsoft prices it at $499, I don't think Sony has to drop their price. If Xbox or if Microsoft prices it at $399, which they're obviously going to take a huge hit on, Sony's going
to
drop the
Pro.
Pro
has to come down. Yeah.
They're going to drop it by $50. That's why I think realistically the price of this thing is going to be $349. I'm getting Canadian dollars mixed up here. $449, not $499. To be somewhat competitive, because they have to. I don't know, man. They're in a weird spot right now. They can't sell it for $100 more than the PS4 Pro in the holidays. It's just not gonna, unless they really blow people away at E3 and be like, hey, this is our games running on a 1080p screen on Scorpio versus what PS4 Pro does in 1080p. They can't do that, because you can't get across that message on most people's TVs or PCs. Like even the Pro had the same problem. Why am I going to get a Pro? Well, because it's like checkerboard of 4K HDR. No one can see that unless they have that set up already. So it's like, well, that I can't really see a difference, because I'm watching videos in 1080p and not HDR.
Right. And that's really, okay, so that's part of the big thing about this that I find so interesting, is that they're like, even with what Sony did, it's like you brought out these machines or are bringing out in Microsoft's, you know, in Microsoft's case,
mm-hmm.
for TVs that are, you know, 4K and HDR ready.
And yeah.
that's still a very small minority of TV owners right
it's
now.
It's tiny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is like, there's really no other medium that uses that right now because from what I've heard, like 8K is already out there. It's just they're just working on making the screen smaller and more mm-hmm. affordable. So it's like 4K is going to end up being an afterthought to an extent more quickly than even 1080p was, you know, and or 1080, the resolution of 1080 in general. And
yeah,
so the other thing that baffles me is like the comparison that I've seen for the Scorpio is the GTX 1070, right? For a PC. Well, the GTX 1070 is around, I think it's around $350, $400 right now. Now, to get, you know, to go deeper into that, that doesn't include the PC. I mean, you have to buy all the rest of the shit. But,
yeah.
you know, for someone that's in a situation where they're trying to decide, do I buy a Scorpio or do I upgrade my PC that I've already got? That's a question that will come into play.
Yeah, they're not going after this. They're going after the console market. They're not the PC market doesn't matter. The PC market's not going to buy a Pro. They're not going to buy a Scorpio. They're going to stick with their PC.
Yeah,
I think that's why they need to show that even on a 1080p screen, what the difference is in terms of like special effects, shaders, like how much better the game looks outside of resolution and HDR. Because if they don't, they're going to run into the same problem that the PlayStation had with the PS4 Pro. Everyone's going to be like, well, why am I going to buy it? Because honestly, like I've seen the difference. Well, I've seen the differences more in terms of like frame rate, not like resolution, because I have a 1080p screen. So I'm not going to see that difference. But in terms of like frame rate, I see a difference. There's definitely games that especially.
Oh, yeah.
That
absolutely.
Have gotten like a patch. That are different. Like, I guess one thing the Scorpio has is that none of the games need a patch. Anything that runs in the Xbox One that goes Scorpio will automatically get that upgrade. They don't need to patch it.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it also is going to run like 360 titles. Like, it's going to upscale that shit and everything. That's something that's totally like some people might care. I don't really care to play 360 titles upscale to 4K. It's,
yeah.
I'm not going to play those games much anyway. So it's not really a problem. It's all going to come down to how it comes across or price. If it's going to be $449 or $499, they have to show to the general public a side by side comparison on a 1080p level, which is like what most people have of what you're going to get.
Yeah.
On this, like if they can, even if it's like, hey, you know what? It's going to make your every 360 or not 360 Xbox One game run at 60 frames that would normally be 30, then that's something that most of the hardcore people will get and probably be like, okay, that's pretty cool. But the general public's not going to, they don't give a fuck about that. General public doesn't give a shit about frame rate or resolution, I don't think. Like, it's they need to cater to that market, and if they don't show that you don't need a 4K TV, then I think that's where they might be able to gain some ground. But if they don't, they're not. They're just going to build upon what they already have as a install base.
Yeah.
Like I'll get one no matter what. I got a Pro day one. I'm going to get a Scorpio day one. Do I need a Pro day one? Nope. Not at all. And I don't.
Do you need a Scorpio day one? Nope. Not at all.
Probably not. But if they, well, I don't know. If they show the games running, I'm like, holy crap. That's like, if it makes like a game that's like 30 frames per second automatically jump to 60, That's a huge fucking difference. And I'll be like, okay, that's awesome.
I can tell you with what they're saying, they're doing with this thing, there are going to be some games that definitely do that.
You know? Yeah.
Most definitely.
Yeah. But the ones that are coming out, like whatever, like they need to show something, and they need to show something that is big and not something that is like not one of, they can't go up there and be like, well, here's Halo fucking 6 running in 4K at 60. That's not going to do it. Because the people who are interested in Halo already bought an Xbox One. You don't even sell it to those people. They already fucking have one. If they come up, like, if somehow they get like Red Dead Redemption 2 on their stage, be like, here it is running on Scorpio and holy fucking shit, then yeah, that might be something. Or like Grand Theft Auto, or I don't even think Call of Duty at this point even. matters. That's just like, that's its own little thing that people get for whatever.
Yeah.
I guess on paper, it's a beast until we figure out what it is on price and what the games actually look like running on it. It's hard to take these numbers for more than anything other than numbers, I guess. Like it's, and showing one screenshot, which again, Digital Foundry can back it up and say, we saw games running. It's really impressive. But is it impressive to you and I, or is it impressive to people who don't follow this kind of stuff and don't really care? I guess is like the big thing.
Yeah, and I think you're right that the majority of people that are going to go after that, after this, are people that already have Xbox Ones. So, mm-hmm. You know, you're selling to a base that you've already got.
Yeah.
In the majority of situations. Like, and that's true about the PS4 Pro too, I think.
The Pro is not selling, compared to the regular PS4, the Pro is not doing well at all.
No.
But I mean, those people, the people who know what they get rid of the Pro aren't the people that are gonna go buy a new video game console. There are people who follow all this stuff and like, well, I have 4K TV. Most people don't even know what the fuck HDR is, and they probably don't even know their regular PS4 does HDR.
Yeah, that's so. The thing. It's like, I think most people don't realize that you could just do HDR with your regular PlayStation. So. PS4, I should say.
PS4, yeah.
Does the Xbox One does HDR too, doesn't it?
The Xbox One S does. Not the standard.
Because there were minor changes to the processor in the S too, right? So.
Well, that's where the controversy comes in. And people have like asked like Phil Spencer and stuff, and like they're saying, because apparently a lot of that processing isn't that much. It's mostly to do with like your TV and stuff like that, like what that kind of thing processes. Like they could do it. I think they didn't do it, or they didn't do it now because they want to push the Xbox One S, because technically on paper it's a more powerful Xbox One, but in reality they could probably just add it to it. And well, let's be honest, the Xbox One S is the only one you can buy right now, unless they're like clearing out the regular Xbox One. Yeah.
I'm not gonna get HDR on my Xbox One.
No, you won't.
I'm not going to go out and buy another one. So
no, like I'm not going to. Like I didn't go out and buy an Xbox One S. Like I knew it had HDR and the 4K Blu-ray player and all that stuff, but I didn't go. I don't have a 4K TV, so I'm not going to buy it. And I don't think the people that are buying those are going to give a shit because they have no idea what the fuck that is anyway.
Right. What I find really funny is that the PS4 Pro doesn't do 4K.
That was a big mistake. I don't understand why they didn't do that.
It's like, this is
price maybe, but I can't even say price because the Xbox One S is just as it's cheaper than the PS4 Pro.
Yeah.
Of course, it doesn't have the more powerful GPU. But that's the thing here is like, I'm looking at the comparison thing. Like the PS4 Pro is basically the exact same innards as the PS4 regular, except for it's got a better GPU. Like, there's no extra RAM. There's no, all that stuff is exactly the same. The CPU is just overclocked. Same with the Scorpio is actually just an overclocked CPU that they used, on the original, Xbox One. But it has a, like, brand new GPU, it has four more, gigs of RAM.
And then it's got more bandwidth, video memory bandwidth.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the difference is there. And, you know, with what you're doing with a video game console, the majority of what you're going to need is in the GPU. It's like, if you have some, I could see the CPU coming into play if you're doing something like Shadows of Mordor with the Nemesis system, and there's like all these calculations that are going on behind the scenes, and so you might offload that to the CPU. But for the most part, what you're going to be doing is everything's going to be, most of it's going to be on the GPU. Like most of the heavy lifting is going to be on the GPU. So.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you watched the Digital Foundry thing, but apparently, again, it goes back to how the engines use stuff. Some engines are CPU, not more CPU driven, but need more from that. Some need more GPU. I guess it depends on whatever. So it's like, I think it's kind of weird that it's not weird, kind of cool that this is the first like console that's literally designed around current game engines versus the other way around. Cause I think that's going to be, it might turn out to be an Xbox original versus PS3 or PS3, PS2 thing. Whereas the games on Xbox original that were multi-platform ran better and looked better than PS2. But PS2 had so much more install base, it sold more. So it's going to come down to them, again, showing the masses how much better it'll be. It'll turn into, like right now, I basically alternate. I'll buy a multi-platform game. If it's multiplayer, it's usually going to be on Xbox, because that's where most people I play games with are on Xbox. If it's a single-player game, 99% of the time, it's going to be on PS4, just because it runs better or looks a little bit better, whether I notice it or not. I'm just going to do it. This might switch that. Yeah. If it's actually like everything comes into play and whatever, I might change it. Be like, okay, well, if I have a Scorpio, why wouldn't I get the one that runs it native or whatever? But that doesn't make a shit ton of a difference to Microsoft, because they have to convince the other people to get that stuff. They need, and the one thing they've been lacking on, especially this year, is like first party exclusives, which, or even third party exclusives. I mean, Sony, this is the first year I've hands down said Sony is killing it, not even Nintendo, in exclusive games. Every year leading up to this year, I would say, it's arguable. It depends on what you like. But this year, like, Sony had Nier, they had Neo, then there was Zelda. Microsoft has had nothing at the beginning of this year. I can't think of a single, like, I barely touched, like, outside of my weekend gamings with, like Rocket League or Uno, or, like Titanfall 2, the stuff that all came out, like, last year or even before that. I barely touched it. Like, yeah. During my single player nights, it's been all PlayStation and Wii U, which is fucking hilarious because I barely touched my Wii U when I first got it. But I think they're going in the right direction. I mean, I trust Phil Spencer. He's been pretty. I'm excited to see what they actually show off. And if they don't have something big to show off, that's not an internal like Crackdown 3, which like their lineup this year is Crackdown 3, Sea of Thieves. What's that zombie game? State of Decay 2, which sure might be great, but I'd consider those B tier exclusives. They're not A tier. There's no Halo. There's no Gears. Yeah, there'll be a Forza, but Forza is kind of a niche thing. They need to show something that's going to be multi-platform and say, hey, this is why you need to get this. Yeah. Regardless of how these specs look, because specs mean nothing to the average gamer at all. Doesn't matter at all. Maybe just us.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's supposed to be coming out this fall. I'm guessing we'll see a big reveal at E3, which will probably be supposed to be about games and showing it off. But then they'd balance that line of, do we show everything on Scorpio and be like, everything we're showing today is on Scorpio, and that's going to leave all the Xbox One people being like, well, what does this look like on Xbox One? I don't know.
Yeah.
They're in a hard spot. It's a weird, yeah.
They're definitely going to show it off. They're definitely going to, you know, push the hey, look what it looks like now compared to what it will look like. You know, they're going to push that button. It's going to happen. I think it's interesting. It's going to be unusual how things turn out, because now both of the console makers have done this, and it's something new that they haven't done before.
It's never really happened. It's never happened before, I guess, except for like 32X, but that was,
that doesn't count.
No, the only thing I can think of is if this thing is as powerful and if it does like make a big jump, that's going to put pressure on Sony I think it might put pressure on them to get out the PS5 or whatever they're going to do sooner than later. And this is where I think it's going to be a clusterfuck, because it's going to be, because Microsoft had to be, they had to do a big jump. They couldn't do a small jump because it was already underpowered compared to PS4. The PS4 Pro came out. I honestly think Sony jumped the gun with PS4 Pro. I don't think they need to come out with that as soon as they did.
Yeah.
As much as I bought one day one. They should have waited. They're already winning. They're already destroying them in sales every month. And then now, there's going to be a new console that's on paper way more powerful. And then if this doesn't catch on, they don't even have to build a gap. If third parties see a distinction of more people buying multi-platform games on something like Scorpio, then Sony might be like, oh shit, we got to get it out the PS5 or whatever the hell the next thing is going to be. If they're going to do another, the PS4 Pro, the Proers, it's even more Proier, the Proier Pro.
It's the Proest.
It's the Proest. The Microsoft's going to be like, oh yeah, well, we're going to release the fucking Scorpio is, or where the fuck the actual name ends up being. It's like, then it's going to be like, is this really going to do it every 2 year thing? Cause that's going to get out of hand. Like 4 years, I can understand. 2 years, I don't know. But I mean, I don't think Sony has to worry because I mean, PlayStation 3, I keep saying 3 because it's so new, 2 was the most underpowered console compared to GameCube and Xbox original.
Yep.
And it did fine. So as long as
that all came down to the games, but it also came down to,
Totally.
I think it also came down to the fact that it was Microsoft's first,
They didn't know what the fuck they were doing.
They didn't know what they were doing. Yeah. So
they had no idea.
It's a lot different now. The big thing right now is that, you know, it's, as you said, PlayStation still has a big lead.
So,
and I don't know, I don't think Scorpio will change that.
No, I don't think
least,
so either.
At least not within the first.
Not immediate, not in the first couple of years.
Not in the first year. No way. Yeah.
Yeah. Unless they price it as something ridiculous.
Yeah. If they come out and say it's like $400.
Yeah. And then there's no way.
Yeah. Cool. All right. So I want to do this real quick and then we can just wrap up and get out of here. But new releases next week, and I'm seeing Dragon Quest Heroes 2 on PS4, Puyo Puyo Tetris on the NSW. What is that?
NSW.
Nintendo's
Online,
I guess. I don't know. And PS4, let's see. Shovel Knight, Spectre of Torment is coming for PS4. Is that a sequel?
Mm-hmm. It's already out on Switch, isn't it? Or no?
I think there is a new Shovel Knight.
It's like an expansion type thing.
Yeah. Okay. Blaze Blue, Central Fiction is coming for PC.
They still make those?
Yep, they still make those. Warhammer 40K, Dawn of War for PC, Expeditions Viking for PC, Use Your Words for Wii U, something I say
use
to
them.
My children a lot.
use your words.
Use your witch. Oh, NSW is Nintendo Switch. Okay. So Kamiko is coming out next week, which is a game that I saw the Japanese one a little bit. It's like old school top down action game. Looks kind of cool. I think it's going to run somewhere between $5 and $10. So that might be something I pick up. Okay. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe comes out next week. Constructor is next week on the Switch. And I am going to just destroy this, and I am sorry. Higurashi When They Cry Ho. Chapter 5.
Sure.
Mikashi.
Oh, wow. There was more to that.
There was more to that. Yeah. So that's coming from PC. So that's new releases next week. I'm going to say either Kamiko or Mario Kart 8.
I'm gonna go Mario Kart Deluxe. I'm hearing very, very good things. I'm actually pissed it's not coming out to the Wii U, but I understand why it's not.
See, what's interesting is that, I'm actually considering getting this, and the reason is because of the way the Switch, Battle Mode's awesome, but the reason is because of the way the Switch works. Mm-hmm. Like, the way this game is gonna work, it's like, I've got a pro controller and just the Joy-Cons that came with the machine. But that's enough for me to play with both of my kids. So
okay, that's good. Yeah.
I believe that's how it works. I believe that Mario Kart 8 is going to work like you can use the Joy-Cons as a controller for one of the players. So that is, I had no plan of getting Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, but after I thought about that, I was like, you know, my kids would probably love to play this. So we'll see what happens. See what happens. But that's it.
Okay.
That's our show.
4605 in the bag.
That's right.
That's a number, right?
If you guys want to send us an email and give us some feedback, if you have any comments about this show or suggestions on what we can talk about on future shows, drop us a line. That is email@interactivedistractions.com. I will say that if you have sent an email in the past couple weeks, I haven't gotten it yet because my email, the client has messed up. So I'm going to get that fixed. Don't worry. check us out on Twitter. We are Indus Podcast, and, individually we are Indus Chris, and you're still Indus Geoff, right?
I am still Indus Geoff. Yep. Geoff. Dude, I ain't dropping that shit. I ain't Travis.
Damn, shots fired. All right. Check us out on Facebook, Google Plus, Steam, Stitcher, Twitch, YouTube. Just search for Interactive Distractions and you will find us. And that is it. You have anything before we wrap up and get out of here and
go play? Raptors fucking suck. Playoffs. We're down 2-1. We're down 2-1 against the fucking Milwaukee Bucks. Fuck you, Joel.
Oh shit. Hold on a second. I want to look at this because I didn't even realize it, but the Hawks are still in the playoffs.
They are. Yep.
How are they doing? They're probably getting their ass kicked.
I think they're down. They might be down 2-0. Because they're playing Washington. Yeah, they're down 2-0. They play tomorrow.
Fucking Washington hate Washington.
I would love Atlanta to kick their ass.
Yeah, well, here's to hoping. I'd like to see them go. The only ones that I really want to see lose are Cleveland.
Fuck Cleveland.
Done with you. Just go away. And like Cleveland and Golden State. It's like you guys have been there for the past year. Yeah, just go
suck
away.
A dick.
Just
go go San Antonio.
All right, man. Cool. Well, thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please tell a few friends about us. And if you're on iTunes or Stitcher, leave us a review. We would appreciate it. Until next time, my name is Chris.
And I'm Jeff.
Play your games, and we'll talk to you next week.
Peace. Next, whatever. Yeah. We don't know if it'll be next week. Next time we get our schedules in sync.